Welcome to the frequency.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
So for many of us, when we talk about wealth, finance is what comes up. You think of it in terms of money and in terms of luxury goods and then having a nice big house or maybe a flashy car or whatever. Wealth can mean so much more than just finance. And that's what we're going to be looking at in this episode today. So the first thing we need to do is define what we mean by wealth. So we need to redefine wealth away from purely a financial side of things. Wealth can mean different things to different people. What does wealth mean to you apart from money and the things money buy? Leaving all that to one side, what does wealth mean to you? For example, is it the joy you get from spending time with ones you love? Spending time with your loved ones. If you get to do that, that is absolutely a source of wealth. Or maybe it's the sense of purpose that you get from pursuing your passions. If you're able to follow your passions, pursue your passions, the sense of purpose, the sense of accomplishment, the sense of fulfillment you get from doing that, definitely a form of wealth and a source of wealth. Maybe it's the peace of mind that you get from just living as yourself authentically, just being you without pretending to be anyone else, without wearing those metaphorical masks, just being authentically you. Massive form of wealth there. So what does wealth mean to you apart from money? Health, for example, good health, that's a massive form of wealth. Key to attracting wealth in all our areas of life is to develop a mindset of abundance, an abundance mindset where, well, let's see. How do you currently perceive the world around you? Do you focus more on the scarcity, on lack, on not having enough, on what you don't have? Or do you focus on abundance, what you do have, looking at what you can do with what you have? Where are you? Where is your focus in life? Is it on the scarcity or is it on the abundance? Where we focus on, the things we focus our attention on, are what we're going to get more of. It's basically how we program our mind. What we focus on, we're going to see more of, we're going to get more of. So where is your focus? If you focus on scarcity, scarcity is what you shall have. If you focus on abundance, you'll start to create more abundance. So we've touched on limiting beliefs in previous episodes. A limiting belief, so a belief is something that you hold to be true. It just is. It's true. As far as you're concerned, it is true. That is a belief. Particularly if there's no actual hard, fast, real, reproducible evidence to support it. That's absolutely fine. It's a belief. A limiting belief is a belief we have which holds us back. For example, I could never do that. I could never run my own business. That's a limiting belief. If you have that belief and you attempt to run your own business, what's going to happen? You're going to fail because you don't believe you can do it. So what are some limiting beliefs that might be holding you back and stopping you from fully embracing abundance? If you're focusing on scarcity, what is it? What is it about your mindset? What limiting beliefs do you have that cause you to focus on the scarcity and stop you from allowing yourself to focus on the abundance? So how can you just consider what steps could you take to create a mindset of abundance? in those areas where you currently feel scarcity. What do you need to shift about your thinking? If your thinking was to change, if a belief was to change, if your approach was to change, so that you felt abundance rather than scarcity in that area, what would that change need to be? So really consider that. Just something to consider, something to think about. The next form of wealth I'd like to look at now is wealth in relationships. Healthy relationships contribute massively to our overall well-being and our sense of abundance. There is much wealth in relationships, having good relationships, good friendships, lots of loved ones around. A massive form of wealth. Excuse me. So I'm going to offer you three tips, three suggestions, three things you might do to help strengthen those relationships, help create even more wealth and abundance in those relationships. And the first thing I'm going to suggest is active listening. Active listening. This is where you don't listen to then respond. You don't listen to counter what's been said. You don't listen to know when it's your turn to talk. No, you just listen to hear what they are saying. Listen during their conversation, showing genuine interest and genuine empathy towards thoughts, feelings, and experiences of others, to really get to understand who they are, where they're coming from. The more we do this, the deeper the connection we will have with those people. It doesn't mean we have to necessarily agree with everything that they're saying. In fact, we won't, but we can get a deeper understanding and appreciation of them. So even if we don't necessarily agree with their position on something, we can at least understand why they think that. We can see and appreciate how they've come to that conclusion. Active listening. Actively listen to what they're saying so that we can hear what they want to convey to us. Show a genuine interest in what the other person is saying. Learn from them. It's a great way to strengthen relationships. Now, random acts of kindness. We've often heard about random acts of kindness, helping strangers out, doing nice things for strangers. What if we did random acts of kindness for our loved ones, for our family, for our friends, for our colleagues? And it doesn't have to be something big. It doesn't have to be a massive gesture. It doesn't have to be expensive. It could be cook a loved one their favourite meal one day, out of the blue. Prepare their, cook their favourite meal. Or maybe send a thoughtful gift to someone. Hey, I saw this. I thought of you. Thought you might like it. Thought you might appreciate this. Doesn't have to be a big expensive gift. Often the smaller, seemingly inexpensive small things can mean so much. Even free things. I saw this gorgeous pebble on the beach today. Thought you'd like it. Thought you'd appreciate that. I thought it would look good in your bathroom. Thought it would look good in your garden. Whatever. Or offer a helping hand. Offer to help them out with something. Random acts of kindness. I'd like to suggest that you consider maybe committing to doing one random act of kindness for a friend, a colleague, family member, one a week, for a different member each week. Some little act of kindness. Little goes a long way there. And appreciation letters. Now, often when I suggest this to people, it's, oh, I couldn't do that. Oh, no, it's embarrassing. But you know what? I was having a chat with someone about this earlier, and I suggested doing these, and they mentioned, you know what, somebody did that to me once, and I it meant so much to me. I just wish I thought of doing it for others. Write a heartfelt letter to the important people in your life. Express your gratitude and appreciation for their presence in your life. Let them know the positive impact they have upon you. And it doesn't have to be pages and pages and pages of gushing prose. It could be a little note on one side of notepaper. It could be a nice little card, for example. but just express your gratitude and appreciation for their presence in your life. Let them know what they mean to you. Let them know the impact they have. Often they'll be unaware of the impact that they have. But this little handwritten note will mean so much to them. And again, don't make a big thing about it. Don't send it to them. Oh, did you get that letter that I sent you? Oh, what did you think? Just give it to them, send it to them, whatever, and then mention nothing about it. Obviously, if they bring it up, you can chat about it. But otherwise, just do it for the sake of letting them know without expecting anything in return. It can really help develop the relationships deeper, create more wealth in your relationships. It also helps you to really appreciate those around you even more. Moving on, time. Time is a currency. We spend time. We save time. It's a currency. Managing our time effectively is crucial for a balanced and for a fulfilling life. And good use of our time, very much wealth. It's very much a form of wealth. When we're able to productively use our time in a way that works for us, definitely we're wealthy. So the first thing I'd like to suggest here is that you conduct a time audit. Time audit, that sounds really complicated and posh, doesn't it? Doesn't it? No. A time audit. Basically, get yourself a pen and notepad and for a week, jot down every single thing you do as you're doing it and write the time you start and finish. Or you might want to create a grid for the day, breaking it into 30-minute or 15-minute intervals, set a little timer that pings every 15 minutes, and just write down what you're doing at that point. Whatever way works best for you. Different ways will work for different people. The important thing is that you capture everything that you're doing. Absolutely everything that you're doing. No judgment. Don't stop doing things because, oh, I better not do that because I have to write it down. Go about your life as normal. Just write everything down. Then once you've done this for a few days, maybe a week or so, you can start to analyze it and identify time-wasting activities, areas where you could be a bit more productive, areas where you can reallocate your time. Now, social media often gets a bad rap here. Oh, people spend far too much time on social media. Oh, doom scrolling. Oh. You know, yes, if you spend 3 hours of your day just mindlessly scrolling through your preferred social media platform, it's probably not a good use of your time. But if you're spending the odd 5-10 minutes here or there, particularly after maybe a strenuous day, it's like, you know what, I'm just going to take 10 minutes just to scroll through this, catch up on what's going on. That can be a good use of your time. We do need downtime. We do need to chill. We need to relax. We need to let our brain decompress. It's about how much time you're spending on these things. Is it useful time? It doesn't have to be productive. Being unproductive can be useful. Think about it. We sleep 8 hours a day. We sleep. That's not productive. But you're darn right, it's useful. It's essential. So just do an audit of how you're using your time. And from that, you can start to spot how much time you might be wasting and where you could reschedule your time, restructure your time. Do it in a better way. It's not about stopping doing things. It's just about being aware of what you're doing and why you're doing it. And is this the most productive use of my time? Or could I maybe do it slightly less and let me do something else as well? Once you've done that, you can then prioritize your time. Because you know what? Get clear on your goals. Get clear on your priorities. Make sure the way you're using your time aligns with what truly matters to you. And as part of this, block time out in your diary. So many people, particularly business people, especially small business owners, they're rushing around doing so many things and they got all these different meetings with clients or prospective clients, and they make sure their diary is fully open so that people can book in anytime they want. You never have time to do what you need to do. Book your stuff in first. If you need half an hour each morning to go through your emails, block out a half hour every morning so that nothing disturbs you. You get the email checks done. It's out of the way. You can get on with the next part of your day. Block your time out. You will never come across the point where a customer says, I absolutely have to meet you on this time, on this day. Otherwise, we're never doing business. It will never happen. And if it did happen, well, that's a clear sign that is not the sort of customer you want to be working with anyway. Block your time out for what you need to do, and then let everybody schedule around that. People will find a mutually convenient time that works. And as part of this, I'd like to suggest, being mindful and using mindfulness with our time management. Practice mindfulness in your daily activities. Savor each moment. Be in the moment. Don't be doing something and thinking about what's next or thinking about what happened. Stay present. Fully engage in what you're doing. Whether it's work, whether it's rest, whether it's play, whether it's spending time with loved ones, whatever it is, be fully there for it. That creates so much wealth, so much time wealth. Health, mentioned this earlier, health as wealth. Health is perhaps our biggest form of wealth. It's good health, it's the foundation for enjoying everything else that we do in life. If you haven't got your health, well, what have you got? Now, I'm not going to go on about healthy eating or diet or exercise or any of that stuff. We all know what we should be doing. We don't necessarily do it, but we know what we should be doing. Or if we don't, we know where to find what we should be doing, right? What I am going to suggest, though, is that we track our health, track our stats so we can improve them. So many of us these days, we've got smartphones, we've got smart watches. They track all sorts of aspects of our health. They track how far we walk. They track our heartbeat. They might track our breathing. All these sorts of things. Track our sleep. Allow your watch, your phone, whatever, to track all of these things. And then once you've built up a reasonable record of data there, analyze it. Check through it yourself. Maybe you can start to spot signs, or you can get apps which will do this. I got an app which I use that analyzes all of this and kind of gives you a snapshot of how much energy you've got, where your health is, where your stress levels are. And it will say things like, hey, you know, you're good. Go for it. If you want to do something massive today, go for it. Or it might go, hey, you know what? You want to ease up a bit. Chill. You're starting to get a bit stressed. Time to chill down a bit. Now, when I first started looking at that app, the information it was giving, I sort of go, what do you mean you're telling me I've got no energy? I feel absolutely fine. What do you mean I'm stressed? Yeah, I'm fine. Everything's all right. I'm just going to carry on. And sure enough, day or so later, massive energy crash. Huh. Of course, being stubborn, took me several times of this happening before I learned my lesson that maybe the app might be telling me something here. So now when it says, ooh, your stress levels are getting up, your energy levels are getting low, you want to start recharging a bit, I do ease off. And you know what? The energy crash doesn't come. I feel more productive the next day because I've eased back a bit. I paid attention to the signs before they become a problem. Do that with all aspects of health. If we get a little niggle in your health, address it there and then. Don't wait until it becomes a major problem. By the time our body is telling us, we got a big problem here, that's kind of too late. It's like, you've got a big problem. Start to spot the signs so you can pay attention to the smaller things before it becomes a big problem. Because if you don't pay attention to your health, eventually, it's going to force you to. Which is better, ease off a little bit or have a couple of months off with total exhaustion? Your call. Wealth in personal growth as well. Our continued personal growth expands our capabilities and enriches our lives. It's definitely a form of wealth. For this, reflect what are your current goals? What are your future goals as well? So often we'll work towards a goal and then we'll achieve that goal and then it's like, well, I've done it. Now what? I don't know. And that's where we can start to stagnate. When you've got goals, consider, okay, well, what's my goal going to be next? What comes next? What's after that? Doesn't mean you have to create the next goal in great detail because you're still working on this one. But it gives you an idea of what you're going to do. So when you have completed this one, you've got something you can go on to next once you've had your appropriate rest, had your celebrations, acknowledged your success and achievements, gives you your next step to work towards. It can also help you through your current goal. If you've got a current goal of X, and then once you achieve X, it'll enable you to do Y. When the inevitable, oh, this is horrible, this is so hard, why am I even doing it? Do I even want to achieve X? It's awful. When that inevitable thing happens and you're about to give up, it's like, oh, you know what, I hate X, I don't want to do X, but I really kind of want to do Y. And I need to do X so that I can do Y. All right, come on, let's get X done. It can pull you through those slumps where you're feeling that close to quitting X because you've got that goal beyond. Gives you a reason to get through X. And it also means once you've completed X and you're on a high, completed it, celebrate, you've then got something to something next, your next step to go for. So keep a track of your current goals, your future goals, areas of interest, because they may well change and ebb and flow and evolve over time. Nothing wrong with changing a goal if your interests have changed over time, especially if you've grown and spot other opportunities. Again, with limiting beliefs, we mentioned limiting beliefs earlier. What are some limiting beliefs that are holding you back from being the you truly could be? And what are some ways that you could continuously learn and improve? And it doesn't have to be massive. It can be tiny little incremental improvements. If you improve by 1% a week, over the course of a year, you'll have improved by, what, 70, 80%? It won't be 50%. It'll be 70, 80%. These improvements compound. A little bit each time. Just slow, gentle, small incremental improvements. It all mounts up. Keep going. And that opens up all sorts of possibilities for the future and is a massive source of wealth. Continuous personal growth, personal development. What's next? Let's face it. You didn't come this far to only come this far, right? What's next? How can you keep that journey going? Gratitude, something we've mentioned in the past as well, and we'll mention again in the future. But abundance in gratitude. And gratitude brings lots of wealth. As I said earlier, what we focus on is what we tend to get more of. So, when we find things to be grateful for, when we're continually looking for things to be grateful for, looking for abundance for which we can be thankful, the more of it we're going to find, because the more of it, when we look for it, we find it. The more we're thankful for these things, the more we will tend to see them, because we're training our mind that this is something to look for, and we'll spot more opportunities for it. So find things to be grateful for each day, particularly if they can be around abundance. Hey, I'm grateful that I have got what I've got. I'm grateful for what I have. I'm grateful for the... Find things to express gratitude for. Keep doing this. It helps create abundance, helps create that wealth. And one final thing I'd like to suggest in terms of wealth is to explore wealth in giving back. Now, we looked at random acts of kindness, particularly for loved ones and friends and colleagues and acquaintances. But also, what are other ways we can help others? We can give back, because we've got where we've got to, partly on the back of others, partly from the help of others, sometimes without even realizing that help. We are where we are. What can we do to help those who haven't got this far? To help those who are perhaps less well off, not as fortunate, haven't developed as much? What can we give back to society as a whole? How can we help the next people who are following in our footsteps? What can we do to help others? It could be charitable donations. It could be helping people to do things. It could be all manner of things. But what can we do to help others? And again, it doesn't have to be something massive. Small little things that we do on a regular basis will count for so much more. But the more we do this, the more we encourage others to do it as well, and the better we will feel for helping others, and it will also enable us to find new ways to grow as well. All of these help us to create abundance in more than just, or help us to create wealth in more than just finances. There's more than just finance to our wealth journey. Hopefully these are giving you some insights, giving you some steps, some tips, some things to think about. I would love to know what you think. Please do drop me a line, leave a comment. Let me know, what are you committing to? What step are you committing to do next? I'm going to leave it there. Thank you so much. Please do give us a like, comment, remember to share, remember to subscribe on your favorite platform. Give us a review. Those reviews really help. If you want to give back, give a review. That would be awesome. And I will catch you in another episode very soon. Until then, take care, look after yourself, and thank you.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.